Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Mobber Radio, your source for all news about road racing in America's bike racing capital. Today's episode features our interview with Ryan McKinney of DC Velo, your 2018 National Criterium Champion and one of the founders of the DC Velo development team.
Let's go!
Welcome to Mobber Radio. Can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Ryan McKinney.
And who do you race for, Ryan? What's your club? What's your team?
I race for Team Buyer Auto, known in the area as DC Velo, and have been racing for that team for over 13 years now, which is mind-blowing if you really think about it.
You're a local guy, aren't you? Born and bred in Virginia?
Yes, sir. I grew up right on Springside Way in McLean, Virginia, and made it through the 80s as a Northern Virginia student, and moved into the 90s in the same place. So yeah, I haven't moved too much.
And you have a day job. I know we all want to be pro bike racers for life and live those dreams, but like all of us, you've got a day job. What do you do for a living?
Yeah, I for the last 16 years, I have been a middle school science educator and absolutely love my job. I feel like I'm such a lucky person to have found a profession where I feel like I'm doing good every day, and it's incredibly fulfilling.
Now, I think the most important job you have, though, is as a proud father to two boys. Is that true?
That is absolutely right. And man, what a blessing to be a dad. And it's also, such a joy, but also such a challenge that it's really, you don't know until you know. And for the other fathers out there, it is it's a labor of love, but it's some days it is overwhelming.
So your level of positivity is infectious. We just did a 100-mile bike ride, and you were positive at mile one, and you were positive at mile 105. How do you keep it up? How do you keep so happy and so positive?
You know, I had some rough times when I was young, and, you know, everybody has their challenges in life. My middle school time was really the low part of my life. And, I had some really amazing mentors that kind of steered me through that time period and, really opened my eyes to gratitude and understanding that, every day is really a gift, and making the most of it while you can is the key. And really, those mentors that emphasize that attitude really does determine how everything goes. And I guess I adopted it at that point and I've just stuck with it.
Now, you are a mentor. You're a mentor to juniors. You're a mentor to your students. You're a mentor to a lot of guys who are on your team. We're going to talk a little bit more about the DC Velo development team in a few minutes. But first and foremost, you are the 2019 Masters National Criterium Champion.
How about that?
How does it feel when you hear yourself addressed as that guy? You are the guy for this year.
Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable. And I don't think anybody could say that with more authority than me. I wasn't even planning on going down to Nationals. I have an amazing teammate, DJ Brew, who has had such tremendous focus and improvements in fitness over the last 2 or 3 years. His drive and motivation inspired me to go. The year before, in 2017, he traveled to Nationals on his own down in Georgia, and one rider got away, and so DJ ended up getting second at Nationals in 2017. And having heard that story and seen his amazing fitness improvements, I was motivated to just go down and help him, thinking that all the way it would be a great opportunity to help him get into the Stars and Stripes jersey, and it ended up playing out differently.
So let's go back to 2017. Yeah. This is if I had my Olympics theme music, this is where the montage would start, the training montage. 2017, 2018, those were physically tough years for you. I mean, you had some things going on in your life that really kind of impacted you. Can you tell us a little bit?
I remember February 6th of 2016, I developed this crazy infection that was puzzling to several doctors and specialists that I went to see. I was passed around from neurologists to ear, nose, and throat doctors to general practitioners, all these different doctors trying to figure out what was wrong. I had this constant ear infection pain. I had used a neti pot inappropriately and gotten a bunch of water stuck in my ear, and it kind of triggered a series of events that eventually led to me being diagnosed with elevated heavy metal toxicity and mercury toxicity, along with some damage that I had done to my ear. And all of that took about 2.5 years to figure out. I can remember 1 year almost to the date before winning nationals. I remember laying on the floor, pounding the floor with my fists. I was in so much pain. I was so frustrated from not knowing what was wrong with me. I remember my wife and my children looking at me as I was bawling on the floor. I had vertigo. I was disoriented. All of those symptoms lasted for so long, and I just hit the limit. And I hadn't been able to race as a result of that. And my family was suffering because of the issues that I had. I took a lot of time off of work. My school community was incredibly supportive, and eventually, had 3 different surgeries, and was seeing a lot of different doctors who were focusing on blood chemistry and helping me get rid of the mercury in my body. And man, I tell you what, it was a battle. And then slowly pulling my way back together, going into 2018, just rolling into the season without, knowing how hard I could push myself, and feeling like when I did push myself too hard, it would kind of set me back with my overall health. So I had to have a really delicate approach to growing my fitness. So I wasn't really thinking about making winning a national championship a goal because of all those health issues.
But there you were, 35 of your best friends with you on the start line in Augusta, Georgia. I was there. I had just finished racing myself, about 95 degrees, 115% humidity. I think it was actually like taking water out of the river and throwing on us. And the gun goes. And there you are with your guys. The goal's to get the win for DJ, but that first lap, you're up the road. What happens?
Well, the guy who won the year before solo attacked out of the third corner of the race, and nobody went with him. And having done my homework and knowing that that guy had the horsepower to do it because he did it the year before, the alarm bells went off, and I said, "Well, this is why I'm here." So I did my best. I normally would have responded a lot more quickly to his attack, but he ended up getting at least 50 meters, maybe 75 meters of a jump on me. And I remember taking almost three quarters to maybe a full lap trying to close the gap to get to him, because he was all in. You could tell he had said to himself, I'm going to win this race from the gun. So he wasn't looking back. He was full on. So I made the connection and told myself that I'm just going to hang on here. It was an impressive move on his part, and I just did enough not to frustrate him as we moved around the course. But yeah, it was the alarm went off. I knew I had to be there, or he was going to get away.
And so the race was 75 minutes long, I think, if I recall correctly. Okay, so it's 75 minutes long. You get up the road with this guy. His name's Owen, mm-hmm. right? Owen Schott?
Yeah, Owen Schott. Incredible, incredible rider and coach out of Florida.
And so you and Owen are there. You're eventually joined by a third guy.
Yeah.
So now it's a group of three. The rest of the field is under DJ's control. And there's a guy somewhere in the middle who's in the most aero position I've ever seen a human person being in, but he never makes the juncture. When does the flip switch for you and you say, oh my gosh, this is 75 minutes long. We're out here. We've got a gap. This may stick.
Yeah. About 30 minutes into it, I realized that we had a solid 30-second gap, which on that crit course meant, you know, it was a lot of space. I still thought we would get caught, but when Nate, the gentleman who went on to get second, joined us, the horsepower doubled, and our gap started moving out with 11 laps to go was when I knew for sure that it was on. We had the gap had gone out to just about a minute, and 11 laps to go. I could tell that also all of you guys out there supporting me knew that it was on. The cheering from everybody in Mavra on the side of the course started getting louder. You guys started banging on the boards. And in my mind, I knew I was really confident that I was going to win the day at that point, because I, like I said earlier, had really one intention, and that was to be up in that move to make sure that it didn't succeed. And in my mind, I was hoping, of course, we would get caught, but I had done so little work in the group, I still felt very good. So with 11 to go, I could tell that my compatriots in the break had been working hard, and I still had a lot of spunk in my legs.
So with about three laps to go or two laps to go coming through the start finish line, Owen puts in a massive pull. He held that pull for probably the first half of lap. And where we were standing, you could see the first side and the back side glimmers of it. And we see you right there, third wheel, just gritting your teeth coming through.
Yeah.
On the next lap.
Yeah.
What happens next? That finish.
Yeah, it was awesome. So Owen attacked, just like you said, and Nate responded, and I think at this point they had kind of counted me out. I had done, you know, very little. I wasn't making it seem like I had a lot of energy left in me. I was trying to be a poker player out there, and they attacked each other over the last lap, and with going into the second to last turn, Owen attacked one more time into the turn, and Nate got right on his wheel. And, in my mind, I was like, okay, we got 280 meters from the last corner to the finish line. All I've got to do is beat Nate. And, it was a, you know, flat straightaway. And I saw Owen was kind of pulling off to the left and Nate was going around him to the right. So I decided I'm going up the right side. And I just put my head down and I, in my mind, I knew I was like, okay, I'm going to sprint to the win here. So I start my sprint, I'm coming around and Nate just moves right into me and bumps me, almost under my, you know, my elbow. And, I bumped and made contact with the barrier on the right. And at that moment, my confidence kind of went away. I thought, oh man, cause I lost about, a bike length on him, from the bobble. And then, as soon as my confidence went away, my adrenaline went up and, kicked in big time. And so I got back on it. At this point, we're about 150 meters out. And, I knew I still had time to make the distance up. So I went back to it and he started coming over again, closing the door on me. And I yelled, "I'm coming." I remember just yelling at him and I could see he kind of looked under his elbow and we made contact again. But this time I had my shoulder up under his, armpit and got to kind of push back. And, he bumped to the left. And I had room, and at that point, we're maybe 70 meters out, and I still had about half a bike length to make up. And then, holy moly, I just remember seeing the line and just throwing my bike the farthest I've ever thrown it before and finishing it and not knowing who had won. Yeah, I knew that it was as close as it could possibly get. And I rolled through and my adrenaline kind of shifted to a little bit of anger and frustration that he had impeded my progress, in the sprint. And you know, I came around and, everybody was kind of quiet and I was a little upset at what had happened, but, also nervous about what the result was going to be.
And there was probably a good 5 minutes of silence. As the officials reviewed the tape, reviewed the video, and it came down to a pixel. And I remember distinctly, they said, "And your winner is," they didn't have to mention your name, they didn't mention your club, they said, "from Reston, Virginia."
And that's all we heard.
Exploded. Everybody exploded. Yeah. But you were doing something else right then and there. You were on the phone. Who were you talking to on the phone right after they announced your name?
So I got to say, Rob, my wife, Jessie McKinney, we've known each other since middle school, and she has put up with a lot to support my cycling. And a lot of people listening to this are cyclists for sure. And we all know that cycling is the rhythm of our lives. And without it, it's hard to make each day go by. And unfortunately, we also know that cycling takes a lot of time away from family members and forces them, especially when we have two small children, to really step up and put a lot of time and effort into keeping the family going. So, you know, me going down to Georgia for 3 days was a huge, huge toll on her. But then you add in all the health issues that I mentioned earlier, and you add in me trying to get back into shape to do this kind of racing. All of that takes time away from being a father and helping her, be a mother. And, you know, she's my number one person. She's the support crew in my life, and she had to put up with my health issues and every other part of getting to that point. And so talking to her and letting her know that we had done it, you know, she didn't actually know when I was on the phone with her that it was me that won. She thought DJ had won, but was on the phone with her, and you know, could not have done it without her.
So DJ takes the field sprint for fifth.
Yeah.
Two DC Velo guys on the podium. All of Mabra is there, basically, at the end of the day. Somehow the great guys from NCVC find you, and I don't know where they came up with the champagne bottles, but the champagne was popped on the podium, and it was classic, and now you're Captain America. You're Captain America, and we've got DC Velo development team guys looking up to you.
Hey, real fast, before you shift to that, I wanna say Richard Distelrath and Curtis Southern really added a whole lot of spice to the event by sharing that champagne with us and all the accoutrements that they shared, and those guys really made the moment special.
So now we've got DC Velo Devo guys.
Yeah, man.
What is this club? What is this effort?
This is my attempt. Those mentors, this is my attempt to give back to a sport that I will credit with, if not saving my life, definitely improving it to the point that it is, enjoyable and fulfilling. It is. When I was, like, as I mentioned earlier, when I was in middle school, I was not doing well in school. I was not really connecting well with a lot of other people, and didn't really have my thing. And I started riding my bike to baseball practice, and realizing that I enjoyed riding my bike to practice more than I did going to baseball. So I quit baseball and just started riding my bike. And a new store opened in town that was run by a bunch of young men. One who was a retired Marine, and then a whole bunch who were just bicycle fanatics and mechanics. And they were the mentors that kind of changed my life and started taking me to races. And even though they weren't, high level racers themselves, they opened the world to me, where I learned how to push myself to the limit. And they, were always there to share stories about the races, and give me pointers on how I could do better. And they also taught me how to work on bikes, and that really changed my whole life. It really turned, me around. And the idea behind the DC Velo, development team is in some way the motivation for me is to try to make a difference in the life of a young cyclist. Cause as you know, Rob, it's not an easy sport to get into.
No. And so Ian McKeith, Alex Cash, Luca, there's a group of guys. What do they share? Where are we driving them as a community? What's the goal here?
Yeah, they all are, really well-rounded individuals. The team really focuses not just on cycling, but also academic prowess and trying to create really great people through our shared love for cycling. All of these young men are, incredible athletes. They have really focused heavily on cycling, but at the same time, they balance their schoolwork and take it very seriously. And the big goal is really just to help develop or cultivate well-rounded young men and women, should we have the opportunity to work with women in the future, who are really excited about racing. And then the kind of candle on top is we really try to help them develop the focus on teamwork while they're racing, which for juniors can be really challenging. And the neat thing is that we have a great club of experienced riders and racers who can race alongside with them. Just this last weekend at Tyson's Corner, we had some 50 plusers banging it up with these 14, 15, 16 year olds. And it's really a fantastic thing to see, where we're meeting before races, we're developing a plan, then we're doing our best to execute, and then we debrief afterwards. So it's a really, cycling is unique in that you can compete across the age spectrum. It's been a really awesome opportunity.
Okay, so now it wouldn't be Mobber Radio if we didn't do some completely random questions with our Mobber celebrities.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
We're moving to the lightning round here. I've got 10 questions prepared. No thinking. First thing that comes to your mind, it's like a Rorschach drawing, except with words. So are you ready round, Ryan McKinney?
Let's go. I'm all ready.
Okay. Favorite color?
Chartreuse.
Best Mobber race not named Carl Dolan?
Poolsville Road Race.
Biggest victory not a national title?
Air Force Cycling Classic.
That's a huge one. Favorite
yeah.
Mobra kit other than your own?
Ooh, first thing that comes to mind. I'm going to go with Getting It In Cycling.
Ooh, bright colors, high viz, good choice.
Yeah.
Best wheels ever ridden?
My brand new Boyd 60 millimeter carbon magic carpets. They're amazing.
With red, white, and blue decals too.
Yeah, man. How about that?
Okay. This one's for you. It's custom made. Favorite surface to ride on? Pavement, gravel, or trails?
Oh my gosh. It's tough between gravel and trails. So I'm going to say gravel trail.
There you go. The Mobra racer in the Peloton whose talent you most respect other than a teammate?
Ooh. The first one that comes to mind is Matt McClune. That guy I don't even know how that guy does what he does. He's amazing.
Lots of time at Haynes Point, I'll tell you that. Best superhero?
I'm going to go with Wonder Woman on that one.
Wow, you and my wife share the same taste in superheroes. That's great. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Okay. And the last one, the Mobber racer who you most want to go on a training ride with?
Russ Langley.
There you go. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us on Mobber Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks for joining us today on Mobber Radio. Stay tuned for episode number 3 coming at you soon.